Hey everybody, Mary Beth Haynes here, also known as the gal who speaks with animals. I want to welcome you to this next episode of the Awaken with Animals podcast, an opportunity for you to activate a deeper and meaningful life with animals. And as we get into this particular time together, I wanted to do this quick introduction here. This particular episode is going to be all about our connection with animals. And whether it be an animal that you have in your home, as part of your family, your friend, your soulmate, your confidant, so much more. Or whether it be an animal that maybe is not directly in your life, but indirectly in your life. Maybe this animal is an animal that lives outside. Maybe this animal is an animal in the wild. Maybe this animal lives with somebody else in their family, yet still has a special connection and purpose with you and them together. In this time together, we're going to get into an actual conversation that I had with a wonderful colleague of mine that I met a little while ago. So I've heard of her for a while, but we never actually met. So we live in the same community and we frequent the same circles, but we never actually got to meet together. And then at the end of last year, I was able to connect with her. I went to an event and I actually won a reading with her. So we connected that way. And then we decided that we would come on each other's podcasts. But instead of having separate episodes for each one, we decided to co-host one episode. And this is what you're going to be hearing in just a few minutes. And again, it's all about our connection with animals. So it is my wonderful joy to be able to introduce you to Sydney Morrison. Sydney Morrison is an empowerment soul coach. She's a psychic medium, a Reiki master. And, you know, you'll hear her talk about her story and how she found at one point in her life, like things just wasn't going the way that she was wanting and she was looking for direction. And then she finally realized that she wasn't caring for the soul. She wasn't caring for that soul aspect of her. And once she did, and once she brought that soul aspect in, her life changed and she was able to really shift and transform. And now this is what she does. And this is what she helps people with. And it's really amazing. So I talk with Sydney in this particular episode and we talk together and you'll hear us talk about the lessons and the roles that animals have come to us with. We talked about the animals in her life, and she shared about her one beloved dog that had passed over into spirit and how she's been receiving signs and the specificity of the signs that have come forward from him in spirit. She asked me some really great questions about communicating with animals, in which I was able to share. So this will be a great review for you if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, or if you haven't, this will be a great opportunity for you to learn more about the communicating aspect and sharing energy with animals in that way. So from animals in our families to other animals as well, this particular episode invites you to join in and invites you to come together as we celebrate our relationships with animals, our connection with animals, and so much more. Let's hop into that episode and let's listen to Sydney and my conversation, and let's do that now. See you on the other side. Hi everybody, it's Mary Beth Haynes, and I'm the gal who speaks with animals and the host of the Awaken with Animals podcast. Awaken with Animals is a collection of inspiring channelings from the animals themselves and messages of guidance from them, those that we call our friends. Anything from the journey of healing to the celebrations of life, there's an animal who has a story to tell, a lesson to teach us, and a gift to provide to us all. This podcast promises to bring you uplifting inspiration and divine loving guidance. So be prepared to be amazed at just how profoundly deep an animal's message can be, why they are here to assist humanity, and to learn just how many blessings they have to share with you. It is my heart's intention that as we awaken with animals, we will activate a deeper and meaningful life.
everybody. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Today is a very special episode. My co-host today is Mary Beth Haynes, and her and I are going to be talking to you guys about our connection with animals. So for those of you who don't know me, because this is going on Mary Beth's podcast as well, my name is Sydney, and I work as an empowerment soul coach, Reiki master, and psychic medium. And I am all about trying to, I kind of even just want to say survive life, because, you know, life gets really hard, really tricky sometimes, and I've had my fair share of battles. And my journey to empowerment really started from all of these spiritual tips and tricks. You know, I was somebody who was, you know, seeing my doctor for all the things, I was seeing my psychologist for all the things, and I really wasn't taking care of my soul. And when I finally found that missing piece through spirituality, that really just kind of put everything in place for me. So I'm all about spiritual empowerment to help us expand and really make the most out of our life. And I'm really excited to be joined today by Mary Beth, as I mentioned. So I'll pass it over to you, and you can give us a brief introduction about you and what you do.
Oh, Sydney, I'm so excited and happy to be here with you. You and I met, I've known of you for a few years now, but we never actually met. And it was a few months back, and there was an event in Niagara Falls, and I actually won a reading from you. And so from there, we actually got to actually connect. You did a wonderful reading for me, and then here we are now. So it's really great to be here. So hey, everybody. I'm Mary Beth Haynes, also known as the gal who speaks with animals. And you know, my podcast is called Awaken with Animals, and it's all about activating a deeper and meaningful life with them. Animals bring so much to our lives. They are our friends, our companions. They're our soulmates. They listen to us when nobody else will. They're our teachers, our guides. And ever since I was a really young age, you know, animals were always a part of my life. I was told when I was, you know, I don't even remember doing this, but I would like move away from where we were and all of a sudden come back with an animal and, you know, like a cat that was, you know, twice my size or, you know, things like that. And there was just always a calling for animals and going through a lot of things that were rather, I don't know, I guess maybe the word is challenging in life. I've always had an animal that was there, and they were always there to listen and to hold that space. And so for me, animals are just wonderful teachers for me. And it just makes so much sense now when I look back on life, how things were with animals, that, you know, I've always been able to hear their voices and connect and talk with them. And so doing this work now, which isn't work, but we'll call it that, I really feel like I'm home, if that makes sense. You know?
Oh, it absolutely does. It absolutely does. And this is why I was so excited to talk to you today, was because I, as I was mentioning earlier, like, I do love animals so much. I, similar to you, I've always had an animal in the house. There was like a brief moment in time when I moved in with my now husband, where I didn't have any pets in the house. And I was like, what is this life? I don't like it. So I really definitely resonate with not just the joy that we get from our animals, but the things that they teach us as well. So, I had said to you earlier, you know, I do have a strong connection with animals, but I definitely, I'm not on your level. So, would you mind like just kind of sharing with us how you enhanced your relationship with animals to be able to have this connection? Because when you're, you know, listening to your podcast or you're on your website, you really are able to get so detailed with the information from whether it's actually, I'm pretty sure at one point there was a horse. I want to say it was maybe even on Amber's podcast. There was like all these different animals that you've been able to connect with that I just find so fascinating. You know, I look to my dog and I definitely have strong intuition. I know when they're not feeling well, and, you know, I can kind of read their mind a little bit. But you, it's just so fascinating to be able to watch you really tune into these animals. So what's that experience like for you?
Oh, thank you for asking that question. And, you know, I think before I share anything further, I just really want to remind everybody that we all have this ability. right? We all do. It's just a matter of connecting in with it, right? So I think that, you know, what it's like for me, it becomes so natural now. You know, all my life it was happening, but I just didn't understand that that's what it was. And I was taught as a young child that, you know, things like this, we don't do. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's only for the chosen few, or maybe it was something that you, you know, anything. I grew up in the 70s. And so, you know, in the 70s and in the 80s, a lot of this wasn't as widely accepted where I grew up. And so it never was able to be nurtured, but it was always there. So think of what it's like to be a child and to be in that playful curiosity all the time, right? And just think about what it's like to have, you know, the whole world in your palms, at your fingertips. Everything can be this magical adventure. Everything can be this fun. You know, we don't just walk to a place, we skip and we, you know, dance around and all of that. And when we're in that state, we are able to connect with everything, not only animals, you know, our other human counterparts, the world, the trees, nature, right? We become in that element, and we forget that. We forget that as we grow up, because our world right now doesn't allow for the nurturing of that. You know, we're not taught about that in school. We're not taught about, you know, those types of things. So I think it's always just remembering when we can go back to what we already know and what we already have. We just need to reawaken it. We just need to re-remind ourselves of it. But when it comes to connecting in with animals, you know, it, again, I always bring me, you know, I've been bringing us all back into my past a lot. I think that, you know, moving into adulthood and kind of where I am now, I do feel it was kind of a natural progression over time. And when I fully embraced this work that I do, because for a while I didn't embrace it. It just kept happening. But then I kept saying, well, you know, I'm not ready yet, because it was really coming forward stronger and stronger. And I finally decided that, you know what, this is who I am. This is where I'm meant to be. And I love the work you do, Sydney, because it's very soul-based, right? And when we connect to that soul aspect, our purpose, why we're here, you know, our mission, what it is, I was able to fully step into that. And as soon as I fully stepped into that, it just started coming so much more stronger. And right. So it's, I think that's kind of like a long way to get to the answer to your question, but you know, to kind of answer that question, what's it like? It's just, I don't know. It comes so naturally for me. It just comes so naturally now. And it's something that did take time, and it took a journey, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Like I really do see a lot of my journey, and I know some other people listening probably really relate to a lot of that as well, especially when you were talking about growing up and, you know, having these experiences that not necessarily everybody else was having, right? Like, even though my ability to communicate with animals isn't as strong as yours, my ability to connect to, you know, past loved ones, to spirit, it's always been very strong. And yes. So, you know, I grew up in 90s, early 2000s, but it was still similar in the sense that, you know, this just, it wasn't done. You know, it was like, you have right. Your little imaginary friend, but you know, you don't tell anybody about right. It. Your parents think you're a little crazy. So I can definitely resonate with that piece of you where, you know, you weren't really comfortable fully embracing it, fully stepping into it. And then, you know, when you finally realize, nope, I can't keep pushing it down anymore. I've got to just kind of step into it, lean in. It really changes so, so much. Like, I can only imagine how great that felt. Definitely scary for sure, but how great it felt to finally, you know, own your power and own who you are and say, yep, this is me. Like, take it or leave it, you know?
Exactly. And you know, that's a journey in itself, isn't it? Because it's like really stepping into who we are. Mm-hmm. It can be very daunting. It can be very challenging. It can be very overwhelming, because it actually allows us to become an aspect of ourselves that we've been yearning for, but we just never knew how. And then all of a sudden it's like, but what are people going to think? Or what is this going to be like? Or all these anticipation of the what ifs. And as soon as, and I'm not just saying, oh, I stepped into this purpose and everything's wonderful and I never have a bad day. And that's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just really helps on that deep soul level where I feel, I finally feel like I'm home. And if we kind of talk a little bit about, you know, what it's like you with your spiritual component and being able to connect with our loved ones in spirit and things like that, it's, you know, I think we can all agree that we all have this ability, right? We all have the ability. It just depends on how far we'd like to go in and kind of revisit with it and connect in with it. For some people, that's not what they want to do and that's not their calling. And that's great. For some people it is. And I think that, you know, I like simple because my head and my brain will make things very complicated, very fast for me. Right. And so if I can kind of keep it simple, it really helps. And so when we look at communicating with animals and how to even do it, like how to connect in, we need to remember that let's simplify things. So you and I are talking right now and we're talking using words that we understand are of English language. We move our mouths, we make noises with our voice to articulate sounds. So to things that we've come to understand as communication, you and I are here. You're on video as well as audio. And so when I see you nodding your head and I see your, you know, your body language and your eye contact. So those are all forms of communication, right? And that's what we're used to. So when we talk to animals, we're kind of like asking them a question or connecting with them and we can receive information from them. We can see their body language, their eye contact, you know, how they're holding their tail or their ears or their eyes or things like that. But when we take it into the energetic component, you and I right now, Sydney, what we're doing is communicating, but really if we simplify it, we're exchanging energy together, right? So you and I are connecting and exchanging energy back and forth. When we're talking to the wonderful listeners that are listening to this, we are also exchanging energy with them. And so when we can look at it with our animals as let's exchange energy together, we can then begin to understand and identify the subtle messages that come through in between the spaces, if that makes sense.
It does.
And so it's kind of like connecting in. Actually, here's something. You know how we all, you know, if we were to say, okay, everybody here, Sydney, me, and everybody that's listening, let's write our signature down. Let's write our name down. Right. And then if we all held our names up in our signature writing to be able to share with each other, we would see that everybody's signature is unique to them, how they write it, the style of writing, their name itself. There's a lot we can get from that. So with our animals, they all carry a signature as well, but they carry an energetic signature that's unique to them. So if we look at that analogy and connect our unique signature with their unique signature and just share energy together, there's so much that can come through. And if we can just start simple there, and I don't know if I just made that simple or not, because I just said a whole bunch of words about it, but to really bring it back to that simple part, it's like really just sharing energy together.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it is true what you say about how we all have this ability. And it's just, you know, somewhere along the way, we typically, you know, put up these walls and we forget, we don't, you know, work on enhancing that connection. And so it's something that it's, you know, almost like if you don't use it, you lose it. But well, you don't lose it. It just
true.
It fades.
Yeah.
Right. But
it's like building a muscle, right? It's like going to
100%.
The
gym. Yes, absolutely. And so with the work that you do now, I'm just really curious, you know, especially having that connection with the animals that you have at home, how has this ability to like really clearly and deeply understand your animals, how has that helped you in life? Like, what, you know, we always say that, you know, we've got our therapy pets and they're always there for us and they love us. But I really want to like dive deep into that because I've gone through an interesting phase over the last 6 months. My husband and I, we had a senior dog who we loved so, so much. He was 16 years old and he was just the sweetest. But unfortunately, he crossed over back in August. And now we're on the other side of things. We've got a young puppy who's about 19 weeks. He's just an absolute joy, a little bit of a piranha at times with the biting, but we love him so much. And it's been really interesting to go from those two extremes because it's been a long time since I've dealt with a puppy. So to kind of go from what I was learning with my senior dog to what I'm now learning with my puppy, like it's always been so impactful to me. So I'm just curious for yourself too, what have you really valued and learned from your animals being able to have this connection?
Well, I find that it really depends on the animal. And just like that unique energy signature that we all have that uniqueness about us. Everyone, every animal has been unique. You know, Nemo, who is my beautiful soul friend in the form of a Chihuahua, he is, you know, he's my rock. So he's a 6-pound little guy. And, you know, they always say, you know, well, little dogs, you know, think they're little dogs in big bodies. No, he knows he's in a little body, but he knows he's mighty. And he knows that he's, you know, this powerful strength, and he carries it so well. And so through his energy and how he holds that for me, for my family, for us all here together, he brings forward so much calm strength. So we can be strong in something, but we could be really like hyper about it, or, you know, that kind of thing. He's just so calm. Like he defies all rules of a Chihuahua. So he's not a yappy Chihuahua. Not to say I'm not saying all Chihuahuas are yappy, but you know, a lot of times they could be, you know, they like to bark a lot or things like that. He's so calm. He loves people. He loves babies. He holds that strength. And so he brings that forward in that way. Mr. Mushi, now he passed away a few years ago, and he was my beautiful soul friend in cat form. And he lived to about 18, 19 years of age. And, you know, he was more of an anxious kitty. He was more of the high energy kind of the only word that's coming forward is, you know, anxious. And so everything was kind of always on high alert, but he did it in a way that he came as a teacher for me, because I also can get very anxious and on high alert all the time. So he was a wonderful mirror to me through a lot of our time together. And so sometimes it's harder when we are communicating with animals that are in our family, because we have that deep soul connection. We have that deep bond. Our emotions run strong. And so, you know, sometimes when the emotions are so heightened, it can be, sometimes, I'm not saying it always has to be that way, but sometimes it can be a little more challenging because we have that close connection on that emotional and soul level. But it definitely can be done. So it really depends on the animal. You know, I've had so many animals in my life, and each one has brought me something different. So I might have had many animals in teacher form, but how they taught me and how they brought forward the teachings for me were all very unique and very different. Mm-hmm. How about you, Sydney? What about, like, you mentioned that your dog that had passed away, and I don't know why each time you mentioned your dog, and then I just mentioned your dog again, and I keep hearing something about Rocky Balboa. I don't know why, but it keeps coming forward. So I don't know if this makes sense to you at all, but there's something about whether it's the theme song, because I keep hearing the theme song and something to do with Rocky. So I don't know. Anyways.
Interesting. Well, I'm trying to think. So it could be like walkies, because that's what we would do. We'd go on walks, walkies. So yeah, he was a senior dog. He was a rescue. We got him at 13 years old. And that was right when my husband, Jeremy, and we had moved out of his parents' place where I had no animals. And we moved into our apartment. And like immediately, I was like, we need a dog. And I had been looking for a while, and I came across his name's Tigger. I saw his profile at the Guelph SPCA, and it was him and there was a 5-year-old dog that they had featured on this post. And I was like, Jeremy, we need to be Tigger's retirement home. I'm like, he's 13 years old. He deserves to have like the best life. And like for 13 years old, like we took him to the vet the first time, and they were like, we know physically he's 13 years old, but like he just seemed so much younger. He was a smaller dog as well. He was a Bichon Frise poodle mix, and but he was miniature. He was only about like maybe 10 pounds at the most. And he was such a character. Like he was this like little grumpy old man, and it was really kind of good timing because I was, when we got him, I was just like developing my business. And so I was constantly in this like, go, 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 work, 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 like overrunning myself pretty much type mentality. And having him around, like, even though he was a senior dog, he was quite playful, but you know, he would have his moments where he's like, you know, okay, like, come on, mom, like, get away from your work. Like, I want to, you know, I want to go out for a walk. I want to go have fun. Like, we need to take a break. Cause I wasn't doing that. I wasn't allowing myself time to step away from the computer. I was just, I loved what I did. That was the other problem, is it's hard to stop what you do when you love it. So it was nice to have him to introduce these like mindful breaks to be like, okay, like I see you want to keep working, but let's go do something else. And he loved to just like sit and observe. And I was, when I first got him, I was going through my meditation and mindfulness practitioner course. And it was something that I was really, really interested in. I loved meditation, but I still struggled with it. And he actually kind of helped me quite a lot with that. He would always come sit with me whenever I would do a meditation. And I would just watch him as well. And he was so good at just like observing everything. He was so attentive. Like, you know, even my dog now, Oliver, he definitely is, you know, very watchful, but Tigger was just somebody who like, you'd look at him and it was like he was like looking into your soul. It was like he was so in the moment, so present. And yeah, he just had such this amazing personality about him. But anyway, yeah, the like we went on walks a lot, and it was kind of funny because towards the end he was very fussy. He hated going out in the winter, and I was just thinking about that recently, like, because our puppy Oliver, he's struggling a little bit with the walks, which is weird. He doesn't always love to go out, but he just instinctively knows when we hit the halfway point in our walk and we are like on our way home, he knows wherever we are, and he will bolt. He'll be like, yep, I know we're headed home now. I'm going to run home. And Tigger used to do that as well. He's like, yeah, I know I got to go on my mental health walk today. And he'd just like grumpily walk out. And then as soon as we hit that marker of like, okay, we're on our way home now, he, again, even at 16, would just like run. I've never seen like, it was just so funny. He had all this energy to be like, I'm going to go home now and I'm going to cuddle my family. But yeah, so that was Tigger.
Yeah. It's so great to get to know him through you and sharing his message, his story, you know, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah. He was definitely like the perfect soul dog for that moment. Like I really did learn so much from him, and it was really interesting too, because you know, I, similar to you, I've always had animals in my life for the most part. And so as you say, you know, each animal, they have their own personality, their own quirks. And so you learn something different from each one. But what was really interesting to me was that my husband, this was his first time having any pet at all. He never grew up with any animals. And I definitely like really had to push to bring a dog home in the first place, because he was like, you know, is my love not enough for you? And, you know, because he hadn't had a pet, so he didn't know. I'm like, no, it's just a different type of love, right? And I have these amazing pictures that I shared when Tigger had crossed over. I did a comparison post. It was when we first brought Tigger home, and it was my husband Jeremy sitting on the couch with Tigger next to him. And Jeremy was like, you know, he had a smile on his face, but it was very like, this is not the animal that I chose. Like, I'm not a pet person. I don't think I want a pet. My wife brought this thing home and now I'm stuck with it. Like he just kind of seemed like, oh, okay. And you see the picture, the last picture of Jeremy with Tigger. And it was the day before we went to go put him down. And Jeremy just has like the biggest smile. He actually has this picture printed out on his desk where he works, and he just has like the biggest smile, and you could just tell like Tigger was supposed to be my dog. I brought him home because I'm like, I need animal love and you're going to provide that. And he just immediately was like, I love you, but I kind of love Jeremy more. And he would like, they were inseparable. He would always go over to Jeremy. He was like snuggling up with him. And so to watch even Jeremy grow and change and transform through what he was learning with Tigger was really incredible to watch, like just as an outsider, as an observer, to see this impact that this little tiny senior dog had on this, you know, grown adult man was so amazing. And now again, with my puppy, Oliver, you know, cause Jeremy's never gone through the puppy phase either. So to be able to see these new lessons that we're learning through this younger dog, the best thing to me is when, you know, Jeremy's done his work for the day and he comes out into the living room and he gets on the floor and he plays around with Oliver, and like they just have such a great relationship, and it's really beautiful to be a part of and to watch.
Oh, it sounds like it. It sounds like it. And you know, when we can, it's something just, it really feels like there's a deeper message coming forward. Can I share something that's coming forward?
Absolutely.
It really feels like whenever I'm in the energy with, we'll call it animal energy, right? So whenever I'm in that zone or in that energy, if I'm being brought down, which means if the animals or the animal energy brings me lower, they're bringing me to something deeper. They're bringing me to something more. And so when you're talking and you're sharing and you were talking about Tigger and how your husband was kind of like, you know, I've never really had an animal before. And you're kind of like, yeah, Tigger, we're it's you and me. And Tigger's like, yeah, it's you and me, but guess what? It's me and him. Right.
Yep.
And so it's like I'm being brought down to that soul level. And so it's like on the soul's level, there's no, and I'm sure you know this. We all know like nothing happens by coincidence. It's not happenstance that Tigger came into your lives at the time he did. It's like that soul's calling or that soul's connection or that soul's purpose had one more thing yet to do before it completed its time in this form as Tigger the dog. And so on that soul level, for Tigger to be able to receive, and I'm really getting from both of you. So even though you said, yeah, I'm with you, but I'm really his dog kind of thing. He's the one. There was something that Tigger was able to support and help your husband with in being able to learn and to heal and to grow from. And then with you, it was like you, you know how I talked about Nemo holding that space of strength, right? It was like you were that space for both of them on the soul level to be able to complete that aspect before Tigger was ready to transition back to the light or go to return back home. And so it's just the way that it feels is so beautiful on that soul's level. So even though Tigger might have said, yes, I'm with you, but I'm really with him, he also was with you, but he was with you also because you held that space. You held that space, and it really feels like a strong foundation. It's like that house we build, right? If we build the walls and the roof, it's going to tumble over time, but we need a strong foundation before we can do that. It was almost like you brought that strength in for a lot of this to complete before Tigger returned back to spirit.
Yeah, I definitely resonate with that. Thank you, Mary Beth. That was a very kind message, but yeah, I do resonate with that big time. And it actually even just kind of made me think about this too. And it is relevant to our conversation. You know, outside of animals, I'm always asking spirit for signs, for symbols, for guidance. And I remember when it was time to put Tigger down that night, like that, you know, it's terrible for any person to have to go through. And that night was particularly hard. But I just remember Jeremy and I, we got like no sleep that night because, you know, we didn't have our baby with us. And we had just kind of put it out. We were like talking to him and we were like, okay, we're like, you know, we're going to put it out there. Like, give us a sign that you're around, or that, you know, like, tell me how you're going to connect with me. And it was really interesting because the next day my friend brought over some flowers, and you know, typically when people are giving flowers, there's like, you know, like roses, daisies, lilies, like all these different types. I'm not a flower person, but like, you know, the grocery store type flowers, right? Mm-hmm. And my friend brought over this beautiful bouquet, all of sunflowers, like a ridiculous amount of sunflowers. And they were so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is an interesting choice. Like, I love it, but I'm like, weird. And then we live in an apartment complex. We were going out on a walk, and where we are in the apartment, we're on kind of like a lower level. There's somebody upstairs. And as we were outside, kind of turning the corner to come into our patio, we passed by our upstairs neighbor, and she had, it seems like suddenly there were all of these sunflowers, and one of them was actually turned, only one out of probably a dozen. One was turned to be like facing our unit. And I was like, that seems weird. And so we just kept seeing all these sunflowers pop up. So we were like, okay, like if sunflowers are you, like give us some kind of a sign. So sunflowers, we learned very quickly that's Tigger's symbol. And yes, what was so beautiful was, you know, we knew we were going to be getting another dog at some point. And because I've always had a dog in the house, going again from having Tigger to Nobody was quite difficult. And we thought it was going to take longer for us to get another puppy, but here we are with Oliver, and we love it. But we found him, Oliver, online, and we drove actually all the way out from Niagara to Kitchener to go get him. Yeah. Quite a drive. But it was me, Jeremy, and my mom and my sister. We all went out, and we had just kind of said, like, we hadn't had a sign from Tigger in a while, but we were like, you need to be the one to help bring this dog to us, like help us know if it's right. And we actually went not for Oliver, but for his sister. We went out this way because we liked how the sister looked online. But when we got to the house and we saw all the puppies, you know, she was very sweet. She was very cute. But I just kind of knew, I'm like, you're not meant for me. You're meant to go with some other family. And just as I kind of thought, oh, maybe we're not gonna be leaving with a dog today, Oliver came to Jeremy and just sat and stared right at him. Mm. And Jeremy's like, I think we need to take him. And it was kind of funny. It felt a little bit like the opposite, whereas I was the one to bring Tigger home and he was really able to help Jeremy. I feel like Jeremy, in a sense, brought Oliver home, and he's really been able to help me quite a lot. And on our way driving back with Oliver in the car, we passed by the largest field of sunflowers. And my mom even pointed it out because we were just so busy looking at Oliver, thinking how cute he was. My mom was like, oh, wow, like, look at these beautiful flowers. Like, that's so cool. It was like, you know, so many different fields. It was seeming endless. And Jeremy and I just looked at each other. We're like, oh my gosh, that's so perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, that is amazing and just so beautiful. And to know that that's it, the sunflower, right? And I think sometimes we want to have that sign and we want to have that message and we want to know what it is and we want to know it now. Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those signs will come forward for us, but we don't see it. Maybe we're too busy or our mind's just not in that space to be able to receive it. Signs are there. They are there. And it's so wonderful how Tigger has been able to bring this forward for you. Not once, not twice. It sounds like several times now, yeah, to really confirm that. That's amazing. That is just amazing.
Yes. Yeah. It's really been quite a journey. And now it's nice too, because Jeremy is very open to, you know, spirituality and these concepts. It's something that was new to him. I kind of brought that in with my line of work, but, you know, as much as I say, Oliver is kind of, you know, my dog now, like, he's helped me out a lot. I can definitely see how this was like the definition of, like, you know, the dog finds you. I always kind of say to people, like, the Harry Potter reference, if anybody's watched Harry Potter, where it's like, you know, the wand picks the wizard, I'm like, the pet picks you.
Absolutely.
They absolutely do pick you. And I feel so blessed to have, you know, opened my space to be able to receive both Tigger and now Oliver, because yeah, like the lessons that we learn is incredible. And really just even that sense of unconditional love, you know, like,
yes,
being able to come home and, you know, if you're having a rough day, or even if you're having a good day for that matter, who doesn't love some puppy love, right? Just to be able to have them come over. And Oliver is so perplexing to me too, because for a puppy, he definitely has these spurts of energy, but he really does feel like, I could almost say, like Tigger reincarnate. Like, there's right. So much of Tigger that I see in Oliver, and it's just the way that he like looks into your soul. And he is such a very attentive puppy. Like I say, he has his moments of puppy power, but when I brought him to the vet the other day, just for his final round of shots, he was just like, he's just laying there. He's just like, yep. Like, I'm here to do what I got to do. I'm very chill, very relaxed. And the vet like looked at me and he was like, is your dog always this calm? And I was like, yeah, like outside of playtime. I'm like, this is just him. Like, it's almost like, and I had a dog like this growing up too, where I almost kind of feel like it's like this very gentleman, like almost human type nature coming from this animal. And it's so incredible.
Yeah. That is fascinating. You know, this could be a whole other show for us,
right?
But you know, the reincarnation and the, you know, animals coming back into our lives. There's been so many, communication sessions that I've done where the animal has come in animal form into our lives to be able to help us heal something, release something, move something. Again, going deeper into that soul aspect, they come into our lives for those reasons. And a lot of times they'll come into our lives as an animal form because we will be more open to accept and receive. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they came into our lives in a human form or another form, we might not be as open to do it. And it's almost like our souls on that soul level says, you know what, it's time to move this. It's time to shift this. It's time to heal this. And so therefore, all of a sudden, this animal comes into our lives and teaches us that very thing. And it's very interesting how that happens. And with the reincarnation aspect, animals, it's becoming stronger, actually, over the last few years, actually, that animals will choose to come back into our lives, and they'll come back and reincarnate back at a time where, you know, it's meant to, much more soul work to be done together. So it's pretty interesting. Like I said, it's a whole other topic that we could get into sometime, but, yeah, it's really, really, it's just phenomenal. And how you mentioned about Tigger and the things that he taught you and the things that he taught your husband, Jeremy, and, you know, and then all of a sudden Oliver, and, you know, moving from Tigger in his senior years to Oliver in his puppy years, and the changes and the differences of energy and the different things that are coming forward. I'm sure he's being your teacher for many, many things right now, Oliver.
Oh, big time, but he's just an absolute joy right now. He's just my little foot warmer as we're chatting away here. But he's got a quite the personality, and he's a great teacher, that's for sure.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah.
Well, we're nearing our time here, but I just wanted to say, Mary Beth, thank you so much, not only for, you know, coming on and having this conversation with me, but also for the work that you do. You know, it's so impactful. And I think I actually, just maybe as a quick question to round off the podcast, because I'm curious, I am definitely that person who is like, I say that I am a pet parent. Jeremy and I were not having kids. Our animals are our kids. Mm-hmm. So do you find, because I've noticed a big trend lately where not only people, you know, opting for pets over children in some cases, but even just the way that we connect to our animals, you know, my parents, they both grew up with dogs in the family, but they were viewed just as pets, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I'll feed you the scraps off the table or whatever. We'll maybe take you for, you know, a walk once a day and we take you to the vet, but you're a pet, you sleep on the floor, or, you know, in some cases you sleep in the doghouse outside, whatever that is. But I feel like as a collective, we've really shifted into adopting our pets as, you know, members of the family a lot of the time. So over the years, have you noticed a shift in maybe how heightened our animals are to this concept of like, oh, okay, I almost kind of feel like the animals are like, oh, they're listening to us now. Like they're welcoming us in more. They're not just kind of passing us off as like, oh yeah, you're just an animal that we keep in the house for fun. You're actually part of the family now. Have you noticed any shifts in the energy over the years with that?
Huge, huge shifting, huge. You're right. You know, culture was that whether, you know, if an animal was in the barn, that animal was there to help keep the, you know, the rodents away, or to, you know, help protect the animals in the barn or things like that. They held a purpose in that aspect. If they were in the house, they still were like, but you are the cat or you are the dog of the house. We love you, but you are the cat or you are the dog of the house, right? And so I find that over the last at least 15 years, excuse me, there has been a huge influx, at least in my perspective, a huge influx and a huge shift in that energy. Whereas we understand that animals, we all are animals. We're just a form of animal called a human. They're a form of animal called a dog, a cat, a horse, a pig, a chicken, a cow, whatever it is, right? Whatever we are just a different species of animal. We all have sentience. We all have the ability to make decisions, to think and to feel, and we all have an ability to connect. And so again, long answer to your question, getting to the actual answer to your question is absolutely, we are all one, and we are now looking at that as we are all one. We are, those animals are our furry children. Those animals are our, you know, they're family. Mm-hmm. They understand us. We connect in with them. It's just a beautiful symbiotic relationship. And there has been an absolute huge shift. And I keep seeing it getting stronger and stronger and stronger as time progresses.
Oh, I love that. Oh, yeah. How wonderful.
Yes. Absolutely. And I know, Sydney, that we talked a little bit about communicating with animals and how to, and I feel like I only gave like a little small piece to the puzzle, kind of like, not that it's a puzzle to solve, but it's kind of like, sometimes it feels like putting those puzzle pieces together. And again, keeping it simple and really understanding that when we can share and exchange energy from us and our animals, we can then begin to pick up the subtle things that they're telling us. It could come through images in our minds. We could start thinking about something. We could feel a certain way. And so it can come in many ways. And if any of your listeners are interested, and just a reminder of my listeners as well, I do offer a pet communication kit on my website, and it gives you like, different ways that you can learn how to communicate with the animals in your life. So there's like four different things that you get in this kit. It's free, by the way. So you can just go to thegalspeaks.com and then just request it there. And then it'll really give you some things that you can do together with your pet, things that you can do together with your family, things that you can connect in and make that connection even stronger, and ways that you can actually learn how to communicate with them on a different level than what you might be used to right now.
That's amazing. Oh, I love that so much. And yeah, I'll make sure that in the show notes, I'll put in access to like all of your information, your website, your podcast, all of that fun stuff. So people who are listening, if they really want to connect with you, they'll be able to find you through like your website, social media, through the podcast. And then for the people who want to connect with me, I have my podcast, Path to Empowerment. You can find that on my website, lightyourpath.ca, and I'll have all that in the show notes as well.
And I'll put that in my show notes too. And we'll make sure that we have all your information there as well. And just really, really quickly, the energy forecast, like what you did for me a couple months ago when I won that from you at the event, that was really cool because you were able to go into all of my kind of chakras and energy centers, and you were able to kind of receive a lot of things that a lot of them I didn't know, a lot of them I did know, and I just needed that reminder. And so I just wanted to thank you for that, and just kind of give that shout out, you know, if people are looking for that type of support there energetically, Sydney's your gal.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Beth. And like 100%, if anybody wants animal communication, like I was actually telling Jeremy, I was coming on to record the podcast and he's like, see what she has to say about Oliver and Tigger. I was like, okay, I'll book us a session over the holidays. So yeah, because you're just phenomenal. Because as you had said at the beginning of the session, you know, it was a couple years that we'd kind of been following each other back and forth. I actually first heard about you through my friend Amber. I was doing some of her back end work, and I was putting up the podcast that the two of you had recorded together. And I was like, wow, this Mary Beth person seems really, really cool. Like I'm gonna connect with her. I'm gonna follow. So I'm so glad we were finally able to connect.
Me too.
I love that you got so much out of your session, and I want to thank you for all the messages that you share today about my lovely animals. And I'm so excited for our connections again in the future.
That sounds wonderful. Until next time.